And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, our 40th episode. We've made it to 40. Yeah, that's awesome. And 40's the new 30. No, we won't go with that. Anyway, it's brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair, 2337th Avenue. It's brought to you by Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent, or you want to rent the travel trailer, you can check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And if you're in the real estate game, something more grounded like a home, check out Paul Waldo at Royal LePage Home Realty Experts at 306-502-5355. Three-time Grey Cup champ. I'm sure he'll trade some football stories with you, too, while he sells you a house. We're talking with Kyle Ford now, who's big defensive lineman joining the U of R Rams this year. Now, Kyle, welcome to the podcast, and I'll give you your first welcome to Regina. Have you ever been this far west before?
No, this is my first time. Extremely excited.
So how did it come to pass that you joined Steve Bryce in the U of R Rams?
You know, I was at a point where I really wanted to just switch it up and find a school, find a new program, new conference where I can really, you know, really show off my skills, show off what I can do. And, you know, luckily I was able to get in contact with someone named Savannah, who was able to, you know, show me Regina, showed me how Regina could be a great place for me to continue my athletic along with my academic career. Yeah. And, you know, after doing my research, I just fell in love with everything it had to offer, and I just knew this was the place for me.
Of course, the Rams have, you know, they have a history of putting guys not only in the CFL, but the NFL, you know, the likes of Stephon Charles and Akeem Hicks. Did that kind of weigh into your decision, too? Did you know much about what the Rams have done in terms of getting guys to the pros?
Oh, absolutely. A track record, especially have a good amount of defensive linemen in that next level. That's something I looked at, and that's something that I hope to be the next hopeful Regina Ram to go to that next level. Maybe not even just CFL, but even south of the border over to the NFL. So looking at that, that's something that really opened my eyes. That shows that I have that great history, and not to mention some next-level coaching ability to get the players ready for that next level.
Okay, so you come from St. FX. What was it like out in that conference? Did you feel like nobody really knew who you were or who your teammates were because you're way out east?
It was a good experience. You know, I really learned a lot throughout my time at St. FX to play the AUS. I had a lot of good times. It helped me mature as a player along as a person as well. But I really think that just to get that next level of competition, that next level of, you know, high caliber football, I think coming out, especially to Canada West, where, you know, where they are advanced, you know, not only the playbook, but also some of the developmental players, I believe that coming to Canada West would be the best thing for me to do for my athletic career, just to see me play against that top talent on every team, on every position. So I think it's really good for my career moving forward.
All right. So you come to the Rams. You come to Regina with a couple of records. Tell us about those records down east.
Yeah, I had a really good career so far at St. FX. I was able to be – I'm currently the all-time leading sack record. Had most sacks in a game, most sacks in a season. And, you know, I actually left AUS Conference altogether being the fifth all-time leading sack leader in just three years, just all time. So that's a really good accomplishment that I'm extremely proud of, and I intend to bring that same intensity, that same work ethic, that same production over here at Regina.
Now, forgive me, how many years of eligibility do you have left, Kyle?
I have two more years left.
Two more years left. And what are you taking in school? What do you want to be away from the football field?
I'm currently a sociology major. I'm still in that kind of field where I'm like, still trying to focus in on what exactly I want to do. I'm kind of thinking more, you know, something worker society. I was thinking maybe social work. I'm really there for the kids. I really want to see the kids get up there, especially those who have kind of a hard upbringing, because I knew how hard it was, you know, growing up and stuff, and just really having that guidance. And I feel like especially guiding these kids in the direction of football, football really helped me with my life, gave me that discipline, gave me that confidence I needed, that work ethic, and I believe that a lot of people can benefit heavily through football and just through having that right person show them the right way and the right way to do things and just how to deal with certain situations.
Tell us about your upbringing. Where were you born? How big a family you got? Did you have a single-parent family? You talked about kind of a rough upbringing there.
It, when I was growing up, it was really just me and my mom. You know, my dad was there, but more or less it was just me and my mom. And she's like my best friend. She's the one who's always there for me. And no matter what it is, I know she has my back. I have her back. And, you know, it's not, you know, it's never easy really just having a single parent there, you know, financially. And then we're doing what we can to really, you know, make the best of a situation. And she really helped me become the person I am, keeping me strong, keeping me motivated, you know, and, you know, but extremely religious. You know, God has been extremely good to us and helped us get to as far as we are. So it's really good connection me and her have there. And, you know, and throughout just the years, it's just me and her just going from different locations. You know, I was all over the States in high school, you know, trying to find the right elementary school for me growing up, and all this all together, it all really just all folded together, came together perfectly in a way that I was able to be successful in the long run.
Where were the places you live? Like, where were you born? Where did you live?
I was originally born in Scarborough General. Yeah. And I actually lived in Scarborough until I was 4. Then I moved over to Pickering, where I attended St. Anthony. Oh, what? I can't remember my elementary school back in Pickering. This is a while ago. Oh, buddy. I know I was there until I was in grade 4, and that's when I then moved to Ajax. Okay. And Ajax, I went to Terry Fox Public School till the ending of my elementary career. Yeah. And then moved on to Pickering High. And I did Pickering High for grade 9 and 10. And then from there, when I went to Niagara Academy, which is now called Canada Football Prep, I did that for a year. And then the year after, going to my senior year, I was blessed with the opportunity to go to IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, where I had a really great career and it was an amazing experience altogether. And then after that, that's where I followed up to Cinefex, and now at the University of Regina. So I've been around.
You're a worldly guy and you bring a lot of different life experiences. That's awesome. Kyle Ford joining us here, newest Ram recruit, big defensive lineman. And I say big, give us your dimensions. How big are you?
I'm not the tallest guy out there. I'm, you know, 6 foot. You can say 6 foot, 6 foot one. But one thing I do bring is I am big into lifting. I bring a lot of weight, a lot of mass. And crazy story, my dad used to be a professional bodybuilder in Barbados. So, you know, I got to thank him for some of my genetics. But ever since I was young, back when I was playing OVFL, versus back way before even high school, I was kind of tall. I grew really fast, and I was kind of slim. So I was like that typical tall, skinny DN. And this one coach, Roger Risha, he saw a lot of potential in me. And he said, Kyle, the one thing you need to do, one thing that's going to be your problem is you need to be bigger. And he always got that in my head. You need to be bigger. You need to be bigger. And throughout the years, I'm like, I think he's right, because as, you know, we got older, my height kind of stopped. And, you know, I mean, I was no longer the biggest guy on the field. But I always wanted to be the strongest, the most explosive, the quickest up the line, stuff like that. So me getting into this training habit at a very young age really helped propel me to be able to be as successful and productive as I was, because I love working out. I love training. I love seeing your body change, seeing you get stronger, seeing you get more explosive. And it's one of those things you just see within days of just you keep working hard, just you've seen these changes. And that's something I love to do, and I was able to develop a following through just the way I train and stuff, and I'm able to give back some feedback to those who are looking. I'm able to help train some of those, and that's something I really have a passion for. Those who want to work hard and really want to get to that next level, I'm always willing to be there with them and help them reach their goals.
Seemed like a really good kid, Kyle. I haven't met you in person, but I'm the voice of the team, so I'm looking forward to watching you play this year. But let me ask you something. Is leadership big for you? Like, you seem like you're a leader. Are you hoping to bring some leadership to this Rams locker room? Are you an outspoken guy, or do you just lead by example?
I'm not the most. I'm a talkative guy, but I'm not a talkative guy in a way of kind of like, you know, so some people would be like kind of yelling at teammates, kind of get like, yeah, almost like trying to get a spark going. I'm a guy. I will lead by example, and I'm really encouraging. I will encourage you. I'm kind of put you in a position. If I wake up early to go for a lift, and I'll come to you and I'll be like, hey, you know, I'm going for a lift. You want to come too? I'm going to kind of make you want to feel like, oh, this is something. Oh, Kyle's out here working hard. I want to do the same thing. I'm not the type of guy to be like, hey, you better get out of bed and come. No, at the end of the day, this is something you're going to want to do. I will show you how hard I'm working, what I'm doing, what the sacrifices I'm making. And if you want to do the same, and, you know, try to push yourself to the next level, then I'm right here with you throughout the entire way, help you get to your level.
I've seen you. I've seen pictures of you. You look like you probably be in the most shaped guy in the whole league. A building with feet, as I like to say. So tell us some of your stats. Like, what do you bench? What do you squat? Just give the listeners who haven't seen you play yet, what can they look forward to when they're watching you? Like, how big are you in terms of your stats off the field lifting weights?
Right now, I'm about 250. For like, and the body fat percentages, I'm in the teens, like the mid teens. So I have pretty good body composition there. When it comes to my lifts, I can by far say my most proud lift is the deadlift. Me being able to hit 635 pounds of the deadlift. I've been a big deadlift fan since I was a kid, and it does so much for you athletically, hitting the glutes, the hamstrings, the explosive power is one of my most favorite lifts. Same with the bench press, especially when I get to like the dumbbells. I try to, every workout I go, I try to get to the heaviest dumbbells. My gym's dumbbells are up to 120, and then if I'm doing incline presses, flat presses, I try to hit those 120s every time, try to get them for as many reps as I can. I want those people, you know, just call me like a gym bro. Yeah. I don't want to call it ego lifting, but I like going heavy, and I like really grinding out as much reps as I can.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. That's great. Just to wrap up here, Kyle, what would you say is your best attribute on the field? Is it explosion? Is it power, quickness? What would be the scouting report on Kyle Ford before we see a play?
One thing I would say is I've been playing football since I was 11, and I have developed a football IQ. And one thing you're going to see is, like, you're going to see me, and I'm going to have some of everything. I'm not, you know, there's some people who are powerful but not too fast, or some people who are fast and not too strong. I find that I'm one of those people who are absolutely well-balanced in speed, strength, technique. And that's the one thing that I will stress a lot is being technical. Is I do a lot of film study, and I research the position. I do the history. I look at the legends. I look at what they do. I look at my own film, what I need to work on. And I feel like from my studies of the film that I'm able to decipher my opponent, the offensive tackle or guard, whoever it is I'm up against, and see their weaknesses and see what exactly I can do to beat them. And I feel like that was my biggest advantage, is my knowledge of the game and what I need to do to be successful, what I need to do to beat this guy lined up across from me.
Okay, my last question. Do you have a nickname?
I had a few. Some people call me K Ford at Cinefax. Some people call me Irfam because, you know, I'm from Toronto. That was a slang we used to have. Irfam means like early, like hit me up whenever it's, yeah. You know, and back in Niagara Academy, they used to call me Debo because I was, as I said before, I was a guy who was really big for my size. I loved working out. I loved lifting even at a young age. And Debo happened to be a bully from Friday. Like, he, every time he used to ride his bike, you could hear it squeaking because he's so big. It's just like he just had a presence to him, and that's like how they felt when I was at Niagara Academy. He just had that presence of that guy who was big, loved working out, and, you know, I mean, they used to thought I was that big, scary guy.
All right, so that's Kyle Ford, hoping to make a name for himself in the Can West Conference with the U of R Rams, joining us in the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy. Thanks for this, Kyle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. 2330 7th Avenue in Regina. Also brought to you by Wheel Estate at wheelestate.ca. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent, or you want to rent the travel trailer, check them out. And it's brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. Joining me on the phone is Ramsey Dervis, Will linebacker for the Team Saskatchewan U18 team, which is playing in Calgary coming up next week at the Canada Cup. How are you, Ramsey?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, man. Your second year playing on the team. How does this year's team look compared to last year's team?
We look good. Obviously, there's a lot of new faces, but I think we can, you know, go and get gold.
Okay, so last year was a tough one. You guys played pretty well, low scoring game against Quebec, and you lost the championship. What can you take away from that game that you can bring to the table this year?
We just got to finish the job. We know we can get there, but we just got to finish the job.
Okay, so you played Sam last year. Now you're playing Willside linebacker. What's the difference in the two positions as you see it?
Well, most of the time as Sam, you're out of the box and covering a lot. Will, a lot of the time, you have a lot more run responsibility, and then, but at the same time, you get to get out and cover. So, but you're in the run box a lot more as a Will.
Do you like that better?
Yeah, I do. I've gotten a lot bigger and stronger, so I'm ready for it.
Okay, so how was your off season? What did you do to get bigger and stronger? Work with a trainer? What was your diet like?
Yeah, I just train with the boys at Ignite. You know, they get me right. Like, Joel has a great program for all of us to train on, and just did that and started eating better, and, yeah, I feel great.
That was Joel Lipinski, the former Ram. Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so tell me about some of your – can you give us some of your stats off the field in terms of how big you are, how much you weigh, maybe what you bench press, how fast you are for people that haven't seen you play?
Yeah, I'm 6'1", 205, bench 225 for 5,
yeah.
Squat 350. Yeah, those are kind of my numbers right now.
Cool. So who do you model your game after? Who do you look up to, maybe in the pro ranks or university ranks?
In the pros, like Luke Kuechly's my favorite player just because he's so smart. Mm-hmm. He can cover. He makes plays in the box. He's always around the ball. Mm-hmm. He's probably my favorite player, and I love watching him.
How'd you get into football, Ramsey?
I just played flag football growing up, and then the natural transition for when you were old enough to play tackle football was just to join, and that's kind of how I joined up.
So you've been playing football for how long now, Ramsey Derbis?
Since like grade 5, so I'm looking at 5-6 years.
Okay, cool. And so in terms of playing football, have you always been on the defensive side of the ball?
No, that's actually just been a recent change. I started off always as offense, and then I got knee surgery in grade 9, so I didn't play. And then in grade 10, my first high school year, I moved to safety and then played the selects team where I was like a nickel and then played Sam, and then here I am on defense ever since.
So a lot of versatility. You'd say versatility is probably a big attribute of yours as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Ramsey, a couple of other questions for you. Ramsey Derbis joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast. You play your high school ball where?
At Holy Cross High School in Saskatoon.
And what's the team look like, you think, coming into this season, your last year?
Yeah, we're looking good. We got some really good players and everything. We just got to come together, and we can do very good.
Okay. Do you play both sides of the ball in high school?
No, I haven't, but who knows what will happen next year.
Okay, so, and do you have a lot of interest from schools as you go into this Canada Cup? Have they been kind of checking you out?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they have been.
Yeah, which school? What schools, if you don't mind me asking, who's been looking at you right now?
Well, obviously, the Huskies and Rams have so far.
Yeah.
I have meetings after the tournament with U of A, and then I plan to meet with some other schools, too, following that.
Okay, what do you want to do? You know, football's great, and probably you want to play pro eventually one day, but, you know, that's a dream, not a plan, as I like to say. What's your plan in school? What do you want to do?
Go to business and either get my master's in it or then go into law after that.
Oh, awesome. Okay, and so, Ramsey, is it hard for you, like, when you approach this tournament, you're representing Saskatchewan, obviously, but you know there's lots of schools looking at you at this tournament. Is it hard to block that out? What do you do to keep focused?
Yeah, for me, it's not really that hard. It's just I'm so busy with the team and focusing on what we're trying to do. I just go and play, and I just think, like, all that other stuff will kind of take care of itself if I just take care of my own business and make sure I'm doing my role on the team.
Can you take us through your game day routine? What's a game day routine look like for Ramsey Derbis?
So we'll just have our breakfast. We play at 10 a.m. Yeah. on Monday, so that's an earlier game because normally I would go eat, get another little nap in, and then we'll probably wake up and have meetings, all that stuff, and get ready.
Yeah.
So I normally just chill out in my room after I eat, just get my mind ready, and that's about it.
Yeah, awesome. But do you have any special pump-up music you listen to?
I got a playlist, but it's nothing too crazy.
Nothing's too crazy. So if I grabbed your phone or your iPod or whatever you listen to and put it on and I punch play, what would the first song come up be?
Oh, the first, I don't even know. I actually haven't made it. We're going on the bus here right now, so I'm going to make it for this Canada Cup on the way there.
So you're a veteran guy on the Canada Cup team. Do you get to sit at the back? Is that how that works?
We'll see. I'm not even sure, but yeah. I'm sure I can probably sit where
wherever
where
you,
I want
where
to.
You want. About 6'1", 205 pounds, you probably could. So what sets you apart from other guys? Like, what's your foot? What in football would, if you were to tell me, I'm a scout, and I say, hey Ramsey, what sets you apart from somebody else in your position? What do you think it would be?
I would say my work ethic, and then just my smarts. Just like, I study the game, take everything seriously, really like film and learning my position, all that stuff, and I think I'm very intelligent where I play.
All right, so it's going to be interesting. You say you play Manitoba first at 10 a.m. That is going to be interesting. You guys got to get to bed early. It's weird to play football a game that early, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been, but at the same time, we've been practicing at 9 to 11 every day, so I don't think it'll be that bad.
All right, Ramsey, good luck. We'll keep in touch, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Growing the Game with Ballsy, 40th episode. We've made 40, I don't know how, but let's keep it going. It's brought to you by Mako Collision Repair, Real Estate, and our friend Paul Waldo at Royal LePage Home Realty Experts. And we're joined by Stefan Edson, who is a coach with the Regina Thunder, and he has his own podcast called In the Pocket with him and Reed Quest. How's that going so far?
Actually, it's been pretty fun. It's a lot more work than maybe we thought it would end up being, yeah. As you would know.
Yeah.
But it's been fun. Like, I mean, we're just a couple of guys that coach football in Regina, and we've had an opportunity to talk to some pretty cool people that aren't even always involved in the football community. So it's kind of, that part's been really fun. But yeah, no, I'll keep doing it and see how it goes.
Okay, so who's the coolest guy you've talked to so far?
Well, I don't know. I liked Cyrus from Trailer Park Boys just because I'm a fan. But I don't know, like, when the Super Troopers movie came out, we got to talk to the guy that plays Rabbit. That was fun, too. And then Reggie Slack was probably the most surprising. I enjoyed him quite a bit. He's actually really, really well-spoken and had a lot of kind of cool stuff to say.
That's awesome. Okay, joining us here is Stefan Edson from the Regina Thunder. That's what I got you on here for. You're my competition. I plugged your podcast, but you always share you always share mine, so that's good. Hey, now maybe I'll go into a classroom and teach. Should be easy since you're doing my job and it looks easy, right?
Yeah, it's not easy, your job. But yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good to me.
No, thanks. I don't want to teach. That's too hard of work, and they don't get paid enough. Okay, so let's get into this Regina Thunder deal. You got the season coming up real short, actually, right away here. You guys have had a pretty good offseason, though, so far.
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. Scott, our head coach, done an amazing job of continuing to recruit and make sure that we have all the things that we need to be successful. We've had to replace a lot of positions, so losing Sawyer Bittner, a lot of guys that, you know, maybe people have heard of, so there's questions, I would imagine, as to how you fill them. But Sawyer Bittner leaving, but we're really happy with Brock Sitch. I think he's going to be one of the really good ones coming in ready to play. And Chris Calcutt and a couple of Brendan Mraz on the offensive line going to the Regina Rams. We think we've done a nice job of bringing guys along so that when we lose talent like this, the guys are already in the bank ready to play.
Hey, I heard you guys picked up a stud running back. Is that correct? Am I right in saying that?
You are 100% correct. Javonte is from out east. I think he's going to be pretty good. He is one of the CFC top 100 guys. Honestly, when Scott asked if we needed him, I said I really liked the running backs we had, but you know, kind of, it's always good to add talent to the stable is kind of what we decided. So we're going to bring him in, let him compete with our guys, and I think that should really, really help.
More is more, though. I mean, when you see some of these Can-West teams, I know it's a different level of football, but when you see some of these Can-West teams, you look at a team like the Rams, and Steve Bryce doing a good job over there, but, you know, their first guy gets hurt. Maybe they have a second guy, but they probably don't have a third guy. And you see some of these teams like Calgary and UBC, they have a third guy and a fourth guy. That's kind of how you want to build a roster, right?
Yeah, and then on our level, it's the same thing with the Hilltops. We noticed that they trotted out three running backs last year that were, like, as good as it gets. So, and they can just continue to kind of pound the rock a little bit. So Scott made that point, and he's 100% right. We need to make sure you can never have enough talent. So if guys want to come here and compete to play, and we want to have a team that does compete, we want to be able to, in case something happens or or just to change things up a bit, you want to make sure that you have the most talent possible. I think that works on every level of football. It's about having talent.
I've said this on this podcast before. If you want your kid to learn the quarterback position, go to this guy, Stephen Edson. So are you a passing guy, or are you a running guy, or what's the identity of this offense going to be this year?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think we're going to try to be a little bit more balanced than we've been. I get accused of being a passing guy all the time. And I actually think if people look at it, we've ran the ball pretty well since I've been the offensive coordinator. But, yeah, I like to throw. I like to go into, and our offensive coaching staff, we go into each week and try to scout a team and see what the weaknesses are that they have and how they match up with our strengths, and then we try to take advantage of that. So I think the best teams generally tend to be a little bit more balanced. We always kind of had a 55 to 45 kind of percentage, or 60-40 around there is where we like to be. And sometimes we're there, sometimes we run more, sometimes we pass more. But I think we could be pretty balanced this year.
As a teacher, you had to pause there to see what 55 and 45 added up to 100, didn't you?
Yeah, big time, actually. You got it, too.
I didn't catch it, yeah. No, it's okay. I love you. Okay, so what is the strength? You had, for instance, this week you had another install at the field. What is your strength right now, do you see, before the season starts?
Right now, I like our quarterback position quite a bit. I really like our offensive line position and receivers. I mean, that's kind of being vague, but I think our team is really strong. Like, our O-line is very veteran, with Logan Furland and the whole group. There's a bunch of them, and bringing in guys like Maka and Teske and all those guys. I think they're pretty good players, and they're going to do a great job for us. Our receivers are, I haven't seen this level of receiving talent on this team before. Like, just top down, we brought in a bunch of young guys that are tremendous, and then not even just to go with that, our veterans have really, the improvement they've made from last year to this year, just, I mean, we're going on air, so I guess that's kind of a little trickier to evaluate, but it looks like we got a lot of potential to be pretty special there.
Yeah, and I guess if you're going to knock off the Giants, the Hilltops, four-time champs in a row here, what I see is you got to be more physical and you got to be more disciplined. You can't make mistakes. You make a couple of mistakes, they make you pay. I go back to that first game here against Saskatoon. You guys had them, but you made some uncharacteristic mistakes, and they'll always make you pay.
We sat and talked about that yesterday, just in our meeting, and that's exactly what it was. We were out physicaling him for the first quarter and a half, and then we made some mistakes, and we had to press, or we felt we had to press, and I think that's maybe where we have to get better as coaches, is making sure that we keep everybody kind of on the same calm, even keel. I think that's what the successful teams do, and sometimes, you know, stuff happens, and you got to be ready to deal with it, and I think we probably weren't as good as we could have been that first game. We did get better, but that was definitely it's a good observation.
I'm not saying you can't win on the road, because you've been close winning there. I'm talking in Saskatoon, but I would think that if you're going to win it this year, and we're a long way from anywhere right now, but if you're going to win it this year, I'd want to have that PFC championship at home. I want them coming to me.
That's exactly right. So we like playing in Saskatoon. It's a good atmosphere. It's fun, all of that. But really, Regina's where we want to be, right? So I think that's key. And in order for us to do that, we got to make sure that we take care of the Hilltop. That's first and foremost. And just really take care of our business at home. Those are kind of Scott breaks down our team into a bunch of different goals, and those are our medium-term goals. Obviously, the big one is to win the Canadian Bowl. But we need to make sure that we take care of Saskatoon when we have the opportunities to do that. And it starts week one. It's going to be a grind.
Tough trophy to win. You got to get off to a good start. It's a short season. I always say that about the junior league and about the Can West. If you get off to a slow start, you're behind the eight ball right away. There's not an 18-game schedule to make it up.
That's the problem. You're absolutely right. There's no room for mistakes. So it really does set you back. We had a mistake last year, and it ended up costing us a home playoff game. And that ended up making it tricky, where we had to go to Edmonton, then to Saskatoon in the PFC final. And that's a lot. That's a grind, especially if you're traveling your last week of the regular season as well. You could be 3 weeks in a row. And, you know, Canada's big, so there's not small bus trips, right?
Yeah.
So it gets to be a grind for sure. The key is take care of your business, and then you get to play at home.
Let me ask you one last question. Is it challenging to keep these kids motivated in the summer? Because this is kind of more of a summer league. The Can West doesn't start till the end of summer into fall because school starts. You guys are in the summer. It's hot. Yeah, you know, they got other things on their mind. I know that they love football, but they're just kids. So is it hard to keep motivated in the summer?
That's a good question. I think the hardest time to keep them motivated is this weekend, when they got Craven going on. So getting guys out for Thursday is trickier. But other than that, it kind of goes in waves. I would imagine every team is like this. I kind of remember this even when I played years and years ago. You're really excited when you first get in there, and then kind of that wave of, you know, the same thing, hard work every day, kind of hits you. And it's the guys that kind of learn how to, you know, not get too high and not get too low. They tend to do okay. But, yeah, every now and then people hit a wall, and that's kind of our job as coaches to continue to try to keep things fresh and motivate guys. It's a lot of work, but we do try to do it because I think it's important. You're right, when you hit that wall in the middle of summer and you're thinking about the beach and all those other things that you can be doing, it's sometimes tough to be out in the football field. But I do think our guys do a good job.
Hey, Stefan, though, but, you know, back in the day when Craven was on, when you were playing, Dolly Parton and Brooks and Dunn were the big stars, right?
That's exactly right.
Hey, good luck with your podcast. Good luck with a bit of summer holidays that you have left, and we'll be following you guys closely, okay?
I appreciate the shout-out. Thanks so much.
This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Real Estate and Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home realty experts. And as part of this podcast, I like to take a trip down memory lane. I love history of anything, especially the sports that I love, including the Canadian Football League. So every once in a while, I like to talk to the movers and shakers who helped build the league and the game that we love here, the professional game, the Canadian Football League. And this week, I speak with Dave Albright, former linebacker with the Riders, came to the Riders in 1986, wore number 39, and was part of one of the most famous plays in Rough Rider playoff history in the 1989 West Final. Dave Albright, our guest on Where Are They Now? Time now for Where Are They Now, where we speak with one of the legends who helped build this league that we love. And this week we're talking with former Rider linebacker Dave Albright. And I guess we'll start, Dave, with what are you doing today? Where do we find you?
Redondo Beach, California.
And what is Dave Albright doing today?
I will be going to work today. I'm a school teacher. I work with kids with learning disabilities, middle school age, like grades 6, 7, and 8.
Cool. What do you find rewarding about being a school teacher, especially teaching kids with learning disabilities?
Oh, you know, I enjoy being around children. I have 2 kids of my own, so it's nice to be around the kids, and they have lots of energy, and I enjoy the job. It also gives me an opportunity to have most of the same time off that my kids do from school, so it works out well.
How did Dave Albright make it to Saskatchewan and become a Rough Rider? Take us back in time.
Oh gosh, I played college ball. I was born and raised in Oakland, California, and played college ball at San Jose State University. And then from San Jose State University, I started out in the old USFL. I played with the Memphis Showboats in the USFL with some great players, such as Reggie White played with the Memphis Showboats while I was there. That league was only around for a couple, 2 or 3 years, and then it went out of existence. And so I had an opportunity to sign with a couple of teams in the NFL, but their training camps and season was just getting started, so I would have had to wait for the next year. And I actually, there was a scout with the Memphis Showboats that was, I believe, played in college with Jack Goda, who was the coach of the Rough Riders at that time. So he suggested to the coach that maybe he take a look at me, and next thing you know, there was a phone call and an opportunity to go up to Saskatchewan. So in 1986, I joined the Riders probably 6 or 7 weeks into the season.
Yeah. What were your initial thoughts when you got up here to Regina, and just the stadium, the surroundings? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, when I got to Regina, it was quite a bit different. I mean, I was born and raised in California, in the Bay Area. San Jose is like the 11th largest city in the United States where I went to college. So Regina was, you know, it was a small town. It was different. But immediately when I got there, I came up there with a guy named Mike Kelly, who was a quarterback in Memphis with me. So as soon as we got there, we'd start going out for breakfast or lunch or whatever, and anywhere we'd go, we'd always hear people talking about the Riders, and you kind of got the sense that Saskatchewan was a great football town, and, you know, I immediately kind of grew to quite enjoy the environment there, and, you know, like, there's nothing like that, the Rider pride and the way the fans are about the game there.
Dave, what was your biggest adjustment to the Canadian Football League game?
There wasn't really that much of an adjustment. I mean, basically, even though there's, you know, the extra player on the field, I mean, the front seven is still the same. I guess the biggest adjustment was probably the three downs because, you know, when I got up there, I played a lot of special teams, covered a lot of punts and kicks and so forth. So, I mean, if we stopped them and then went over to the sideline on the offense, instead of three and out, it's two and out, and you're back out there covering kicks. So a lot of running around. And I guess the bigger field was something you adjust to. But, you know, with playing a lot of special teams and only two downs to rest, you had to be in good condition to run around, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Dave Albright, tell me about this, though. A couple of the rules, especially on special teams. How about no yards, and how about the rouge? How long did it take Dave Albright to wrap his brain around those two rules?
No yards. Well, and the other thing is just all the kicks happening to be returned, or a single. I mean, that was much different than the U.S. game, so... I mean, you know, the guy was going to return the kick every time on field goals. You know, if they didn't return it, it would be a single. And then I'll be honest with you right now, what's a rouge?
Well, that's the single, the rouge. the single, the whole kick it in, kick it out, get a single for missing a field goal or a single for, you know, putting a punt in the end zone. I just, you know, American guys, sometimes they come up here and they're like scratching their heads like, what is that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was different. But I'll be honest with you, this is the first time, or maybe I forgot, the hearing of that being called a rouge. But I definitely know what the single was all about.
Dave Albright joining us. Dave, did you know the 89 season would be a special one? And at what point maybe did you know it was going to be a special one?
Well, I mean, I think we all kind of knew. You know, I got up there partway through the season in 86, and then 87 was my first full season. And just some of the guys that we had in there, 88, we made the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, and that was pretty exciting. I mean, 11 years is a long time to be out of the playoffs in the CFL, so we knew we were on to something. You know, Coach Gregory had come in there, and, you know, 89, we were confident. We had made the playoffs the year before, and we knew we could be on to bigger and better things. I think, you know, the attitude of the team is that, you know, they had been, I don't want to say they were used to losing or like to lose, not at all, because I know a lot of guys that have played there for a long time that were great players and playing hard, but we were very confident, and we knew we had a pretty good team.
Hey, there's a not a rumor, but people like to joke that you guys threw that last regular season game in Edmonton. You remember that one? You guys got smoked by the 16-2 Eskimos, but you'd come back a couple of weeks later and beat them. Did you guys kind of mail that one in at the end of the regular season?
Absolutely not. Nope. I don't know how you could play football mailing it in. You know, I mean, maybe basketball, you can get lazy. If you're not playing hard in football, you can get hurt. So, no, we weren't mailing anything in. We were always giving it our best effort, but we just did a little bit better in the Western Final.
Speaking of injuries, in your long career, college, and in the pro ranks, what's the worst injury Dave Albright suffered?
Well, I would say the worst injury I suffered was probably a broken arm, and I had broken my arm when I played in the USFL, and that was had broken it in 85, and then in 89, after the 12th game of the season, I re-broke that arm, and that put me out for the last six games of the 89 season, and then I didn't return until the first playoff game against Calgary that year in 89, so that was probably the worst, although I broke my foot in 1990, and was out for a while with that. So I would say both of those were not enjoyable.
1989, take us through the big play, because you're part of one of the most thrilling plays in Rough Rider playoff history. Eddie Lowe sacks the quarterback, Tracy Hamm. Dave Albright scoops it up. Take us through that play. What's running through your mind as you're going for the touchdown?
Well, I mean, you know, that whole game, Edmonton was 16-2, and they were talking about them as probably one of the greatest teams in CFL history. So we went in there to that game, not knowing that we could win. We had our defense. We were going to be very aggressive and put pressure on Tracy Ham. So we had a lot of blitz package for that game. And we were getting after him the whole time. So I believe Edmonton was up. I think they were maybe up 7-3 or 10-3, and they were kind of driving. And, you know, things weren't looking all that great for us. They were kind of had the momentum. And so it was just another blitz. And Eddie got through there and just rocked Tracy Ham. The ball went down, and I saw it and picked it up and just hoped that I could make it in for a touchdown, and I think it was 62 yards, and I did, and that kind of got us going there and turned the momentum around, and after that, we were off to the win.
Does a play like that, though, for like take us normal folks through a play like that, because we're not in that type of level of competition. They say for athletes, when they're making a big play, it's like time stops or it slows down. Was that the case for you in that 62-yard run?
Well, yeah, it kind of seems like it's going forever. You know, you're like, is anybody going to catch me? And you're running, and it's a little bit of slow motion. But, it was a great feeling, and it was, it was a moment that I'll never forget.
Okay, so you got here. The waters were rough when you first got to Saskatchewan, but in 89, of course, you beat Edmonton. Like you said, you go to the Grey Cup. What's the first thing you think about when you think about the greatest Grey Cup game ever played, the 43-40 win over Hamilton? What's the first thing that pops into Dave Albright's head?
The first thing that pops into my head, I guess, you know, watching that Ridgeway's kick go through the goalpost at the end of the game, it has to be the biggest thing that pops into my head. You know, we kind of, once we beat Edmonton, we were confident, and, we thought we knew we were going to win the cup. It ended up being not much of a defensive struggle, but the offenses had a lot of success that day, and it was high scoring. But, you know, I guess the thing that everybody in Saskatchewan is going to remember is Ridgeway's kick going through at the end of the game for us to win it.
Yeah, and the celebration of the fans afterward when you guys got back home, a lot of guys I've talked to said that sticks in their memory too.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, even after the game, you know, my whole family was there, and my dad was in the locker room with us and everything, and that was kind of nice. You know, my wife's family, everybody was there. And then when we got back to Regina, I mean, the people at the airport, and then when we went to the stadium for the celebration, and I don't remember what it was, minus something, and that doesn't deter anybody in Regina. So No. The stadium was filled. And just after that, I mean, I stuck around town for a while and went to a few hockey games in the province, and just, you know, you would have thought that it's just the appreciation, it's hard to describe. I've told people forever the way the fans are there. There's nothing quite like it. I guess in the States it would kind of be like a Green Bay Packers situation, that small town. But boy, you know, those people, they really, really appreciated it, and it made you. It was humbling, you know, the way people treat you after winning that Grey Cup.
Hey, you stuck around town for a little while after. Did you have to open your wallet, or were there a lot of freebies for Dave Albright, Grey Cup champ?
Yeah, there was. There was quite a few freebies for the Grey Cup champs. Like I said, everybody around was pretty happy about it. It was a good situation.
Dave, thanks for taking time out of your schedule and joining us here. Where are they now? We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Well, this has been Growing the Game with Ballsy, our 40th edition, and it was our bi-week edition, and hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Coming up next week, we'll get more into the Paul Waldos, the Darian Durants of the world, and we'll also hear from Sheldon, our famous caller on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. He's going to be a regular guest here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, so that will be fun for sure. If you'd like to be a guest on this show or have a story you'd like me to pursue, please email me, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. If you'd like to sponsor this podcast, you can also reach me at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. A reminder, you can hear me Monday to Friday when I'm back from holidays on The Wolf, 6 to 10, 104.9 The Wolf FM in Regina, or on the Rider Radio Network before the game on Rough Rider Game Day and after the game on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Until next time, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening.